generosity. And this is what I mean by that. I'm kind of using righteous two different ways. I'm using it first as an informal way. When you say sometimes something is good, like sometimes you may have good bread pudding, and you see that bread pudding was righteous. Yeah. You mean it was excellent, really good. So I'm using it to some extent that way. But I also want to use it as God being generous. And this is the primary way I want to use it. God being generous in giving us Christ's righteousness. Amen. That's real generosity. Amen. So that's kind of what I want to talk about. Amen. But you're talking about a good gift. And maybe even I would probably even go as far as to say is that's the perfect gift. God's righteousness. That's why I say, and this is verse 20, but now the righteousness of God without the law, they used to try to get righteousness with the law. But the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Amen. You can be righteous without the law. Amen. How can we be righteous without the law? In verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Amen. Amen. Turn down a bit. This one right here just a little bit. A little bit because I'm getting feedback. All right. Righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you receive the righteousness of God. Now let me see if I talk about. There's a word in this passage I want to talk about, and then it has a lot to do with that righteousness. That's the word justification. Justification. Let me see if I can give you some examples of what that is. Justification is the way we seek access to something. If you were going to college, amen, and you wanted access, you may send them, in order to get access, you would try to send them your academic record, maybe from high school or from another college, and show them the grades you made. And based upon those grades, they can say either you were accepted or rejected. Amen. If you, it's the same thing. If you think of it in as a career or in a work context. If you wanted to be accepted, you wanted to get a job, you would send them your resume for college. You would send a transcript, but to get a job, you would send them your resume, and they would look at some of your college, but they are mainly when they get your work experience and the type of job you've been on, what kind of experience you had, and how long you've been on those jobs. And as you change or switch jobs, were you fired or did you resign and go to another position? They will look at all that to determine if you were qualified for the job. That's kind of how righteousness works, really. Oh, justification and righteousness come from the same root word. So it's kind of how you're trying to say, if I'm good enough, if my work experience is good enough, then I can get the job. Or if my grade and my transcript is good enough, I can get into the college. And a lot of us approach
our acceptance with God the same way. If I can show God my moral transcript, my ethical resume, then God will accept me. That's the way most religions are based upon that. Other than Christian. That's what gives Christianity its distinctiveness. It's distinctly different. It's not something you can achieve by you can achieve or merit or be good enough for in Christianity. And other people say, well, you know, if I do what I ought, then I get accepted. Amen. But Christianity kind of subverts that whole system. It says you get accepted and then you do what you ought. Because you don't have the power to do what you ought without first having a relationship with Christ.
Listen, look at, I hope you see, have your Bibles open to that chapter 3. And look up to verse 10. Verse 10 says, I'm going to start at verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. So if you want to use that, you're not going to get into God. You're not going to get accepted. Because it says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. And if you think you're an exception, it says, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of accident is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the peace have, in the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law said, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, since this is the condition that we're in, it says, therefore, by the deeds of law, by keeping the law, keeping the obligations, shall no flesh be justified. You can't be justified. You can't be right before God by keeping the law. No flesh be justified in time. For by the law, only thing the law is going to really show you is how sinful you are. If you be honest with yourself, that's usually what the law does. The law is mainly to show you how much you need Jesus. Because if it weren't for the law, we'd be middle class sinners. Yeah, two kinds of different kinds of sinners. You know, middle class, we look middle class. You think, you know, I'm not way up there, but I'm pretty good. I might need a little help, you know. I got a little goodness in me. I've done a few things right. Because you're middle class. Middle class should feel like they've done some good. But I don't think that. I just read verses. That's for you, middle class. That's for us, middle class. The thing we can do a little good. And we need God just to make up for how we fall. Middle class, think of middle class, having that middle class sinner mentality will keep you from being acceptable to God. You gotta realize that you are a poor sinner. You gotta realize you're a spiritual person.
grace. That's why.
Well, wait a minute. I've done some good things. Pass away here when I'm a saint. I've done some good stuff. I cut my nails with yard.
Kept a woman's kids. Help somebody fix the flat. Go to church most of the time. Cut down on the drinking.
I've done some good things.
But see, the problem is, when you're lost, even the good things you do are polluted by pride and self-centeredness. I watch your back, you watch my back mentality. So when you do good, you do good for people's applause. Or you do good so somebody can do good back to you. Or you do good for what you're going to get out of doing good. That's selfish. Or you do good, and in your doing good, you become proud because you did better than somebody else when you compared yourself to somebody else. And I'm trying to say that kind of righteous is tainted. That's polluted righteousness. And polluted righteousness will not get you closer to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I realize, Lord, I realize. You have to come to the point. Like me, that I realize all my righteousness, as the scripture says, is as filthy rags, it's polluted. So I'm not middle class. I'm in the Lord's room of it. And I need Jesus like crazy. Anybody out there? So you can't really get with God until you get there. Yeah. Lord, I need you like crazy because I know how messed up my heart is. I know how sinful I am because, Lord, I've seen me when nobody else was looking.
Yes, sir.
I seen me when I was in the dark and there was nobody else there. So I know the kind of polluted heart I got. And I know the only hope I have is Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No Jesus, no heaven for me.
Uh-huh.
Can't make it on my own. I want him to be the person I'm crazy to be without him. That's what we got to get. See, when you get there, when you get on that level, and you say, I'll have sin and come short of the glory of God, there's, I have sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none good. I'm not good. No, not one. That includes me. I'm guilty. Now I'm pretty good. Middle class, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Just need a little help.
Yes.
God is not offering a little help. He said, you got to take it all or nothing. You got to realize you just so messed up. One for Jesus. And that helps us to be humble. Because sometimes if you don't realize that about yourself, you'll look around at somebody else and you'll get comparing your polluted righteousness with their polluted righteousness. And you really thank you so. But both of you have the same polluted righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. You gotta realize, even my tears of repentance need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. See, not only must you repent from your sins, but I come to tell you, you got to repent from your righteousness. Not just repent from your sin. Y'all hear that? Hold on, I'll repent from my sin. But you got to repent from your righteousness. Because you can't make it with your righteousness because your righteousness is polluted. Our righteousness is polluted. So I repent from my sin and I repent from trying
righteousness that I thought was good enough. Now I realize the only way I can be acceptable to God is with Him giving me the righteousness that's in Christ. Christ's righteousness. Somebody, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Read me that when you get there. something about being righteous enough or good enough. Whenever somebody tries to be good enough, you got to ask yourself, how much good is enough? And if you ask yourself, really, how much good is enough? Perfection is the only good enough. And nobody's perfect. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory. But God is so generous. He takes my sin and gives me his righteousness. And because I have it right, I'm accepted. And I get God.
Yes, yes.
Because I get righteousness, he gives me righteousness, then I get God. And God is Christ. And I get God forever. You're talking about generous. We see the church, we've heard this so many times. It's kind of like, you know, when you live in my neighborhood, if you just live in my neighborhood, you come out there. Around about maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock every night. If you just move out there, something going to bother you when you sleep. The train comes through. About 1:30, 2 o'clock. Train is coming through. Coming through. But listen here. It don't even bother me no more because I'm used to it. You get used to it after a while. It becomes quiet. But if somebody has to do it, what the world? But after you've been there, it don't bother you. And sometimes, there are things in our lives, and they've been there so long, that even though those things displease God, they don't bother us.
Yes.
And that's why we think we're good enough to earn righteousness on all. It's been wrong so long it don't bother you.
My God.
It's been there so long your heart don't get convicted like it's supposed to get convicted. So you're just used to it. And you don't realize. You kind of like, we're sometimes like Samson. You know, Samson had a whole lot of chances. When he was laying his head in that woman's lap, he got up, got his power back every time. Got up, got it, shook himself, got his power back, able to win the war, be victorious. But on that last time, he shook, but it didn't have no power. Some of us have been without power so long.
Jesus, come on now.
You don't even miss the power. That's why you can't live a life God has designed for you to live. If you've been without that power so long, you don't even miss it. It's gone. You know, I like the song that says, take me back to the place while first found. Amen. That's what we want to take it back there, Lord, to the place where you felt closed in. But now, you was a baby Christian. You should have progressed.
Amen.
Man. But you so far from God, you just even just give it back what I first. Just give it back while I was learning my ABCs. Don't give it back while I can read and walk on my own. And walk in the spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But just give it back where I can crawl. Somebody can carry me. So we got to realize how much we need. That's one thing. When you realize what you need, you say, okay. You become, that verse means something. Sin that I had just got so comfortable with, I didn't think was that bad. And you gave me your righteousness. But then you didn't, that would have been generous enough because I have a righteousness. Now I got access to heaven and I'm with you forever, but you didn't even stop there. Then you gave me your Holy Spirit. to live inside of me.
Yes, yes.
You gave me your Holy Spirit to live inside of me so it can give me the power to live a Christian life. God is so full. And then it says over in chapter 8, he intercedes for us. God is praying for you. If nobody else is praying, you know the Lord is praying for you. And the Lord knows what to pray for. Don't nobody know you like people know you.
Yes, sir.
Jesus intercedes for us. And he's our advocate. Because you know the truth of Satan, I always say,
listen, when you call, you know, you thank you all that. You know, about three or four words in front of the Bible, you think you thank you. You thank you all that. But you know, me and you
know, Lord, they ain't all that. But then, amen. And I don't know why you think you all that, Lord. But then, Lord, as Satan accuses us, our Lord don't really, he's our Lord. That's what he means. He just stands up. He don't have to object. You don't like to object?
Yeah.
He don't have to object. All he has to do is raise his hand and he can lay a place.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He done did the mess of somebody's pain.
Yes, sir.
Painful. Paid in full on Calvary.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not finished with him yet, Satan. But when I get finished with him, and I got some plans for him. When I get finished, then talk to me about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I love that he justified. To justify means he died for our sins.
Right.
It took, it's a negative. He took our sins away. But then he gave us the gift, the perfect gift, the most generous gift that you could ever give, his righteousness.
Yes.
And we're clothed in his righteousness. But he didn't even stop there. He said, you're clothed in my righteousness. Now the Father sees you as righteous, but you're not, you, even though he sees you as righteous, your position is righteous, but in your practical life, you're not righteous yet. So I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and it's going to, see, the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life to your practical, everyday righteousness. Become how the Father sees you as right.
Yeah,
and God, who has begun to work in you,
yes,
you'll keep working on it.
Yes,
he don't ever saw nothing not finished.
Amen.
He's done begun. You're not there yet. And we got to realize none of us are there yet. Amen. But he that has begun to work in you, he's going to complete it.
Yeah. So I know one day, and I'll be so glad when he completes.
Because I don't know if you like me, but sometimes when you mess up, you just get tired of messing up.
Yes, sir.
You know? When you want to please God, you want to do what you love, you say, I want to do it, but I keep screwing up.
Jesus.
I don't know if I'm going to say that in a sermon, but that's the way you know something.
That's the way. Y'all understand what I'm talking about.
Yes.
They just say you screwed up the same way you screwed up the last time.
Right.
Lord, come on, you just, Lord Jesus, I just want to not be able to do this because I know I want to please you.
Yes, sir.
I want to live a life that pleases you. But I keep stumbling to the same hole.
But all right, I'm working on you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry, I'm working on you. You just keep on doing those things that develop. Because I got you covered. I already paid for it. But now, that don't mean you get a free ticket.
Amen.
Because even though you're heaven, your ticket for heaven is already there, but you still will have some consequences on earth. Sometimes you're covered and you're on your way there, but the consequence on earth, you feel like you're you sure glad you're not going to hell because, ooh, the earth is bad. And then your own comfort that you create.
Amen.
So I'm trying to take that. I'm just trying to take that. God. How generous he is. He's just righteously generous. He has a righteous generosity.
enough. That's enough to take care of every Christmas now. That's enough gift to take every care. That gift is big enough to take care of all the Christmas I'll ever have. If he never, you know how come, if he never blesses me again, he's already done enough. But he's still doing more. I didn't expect you to do that, Lord.
Yes, sir.
I didn't expect you to say, well, you know, have your, you know, most of us expect, like, we expected to do our part and let God do his part. And then found God said, your part is out. I don't want you trying to do your part and bring your part next. You know, that's like having somebody that can't cook. And y'all said, we will cook this pie together. Now, one person can't cook. One person can cook. So we're going to do this again. You do the first part of it. Then I do the second part of it. Because the person that can't cook going to mess up the whole thing. So just, no, baby. All right, I'll do the whole pie. I'll do the whole pie. And then what God does say, tell her, I give you my righteousness. I don't need you to bring your polluted, bad taste, poisonous, food poisonous into my righteousness.
Glory, glory.
Hey, I don't want it. So y'all understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Sometimes, and I say this somewhere, I'm going to be excited. I'm about to finish this enough for the day. I just want you to know. Because God has been that gentle with us, that he gave us his righteousness, took our sin. We are justified. Justified means our sins have been paid for. Jesus said, let it alone. Get it? Get what I paid for. We changed places. I took his punishment. He took my perfection. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You think he's, yeah, it's a little rough. But sometimes people look at us and say, yeah, you're a Christian. See, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. And you didn't want to, yeah. But you think I'm bad. You think you should have saw me before I became a Christian. Always from where I should be. But I'm also a long way from where I used to be.
Yes, come on,
I'm on the way somewhere.
Thank
the Lord. That's what Christianity is. It's not a destination. Until Jesus comes back, it's not a destination. It's a direction. Are you moving in the right direction?
Yeah.
One day when he comes back, we'll reach our destination. But right now, it's moving in the right direction. I'm moving in the direction because he's moving me. I'm depending on him. He's my the Holy Spirit is that GPS that keeps me moving in the right direction. And sometimes when I go, you ever not listen to the Holy Spirit? Is it went in your own direction? It's like that GPS, and sometimes when you pass, it goes, stop. Because sometimes I pass it on purpose. And then they turn around. You read book. Read whatever you know. And rewrite. And then sometimes we don't want it to rewrite. Because now sometimes it'll reroute you. But because of the way traffic is, I would like to follow your reroute, but first I got to work my way over to that lane. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to go down a little bit more. Just wait on. And then after you pass that turn and told you to pass because you couldn't get over the right line, it'll reroute you again.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get your reroute. I got to work my way over to the right line. Listen, this is all I want to say. This how precious is the gift of Christ's righteousness in our lives. If nothing else, that's enough to praise him forever. That's amazing right there. Give me his righteousness. Money can't buy that. I think it says in Romans 8:32, closing, God spared not his son. Why is that so meaningful? Because the spared not his son is the same word that's used back in Genesis when Abraham was going to kill Isaac. You remember God was going to take an offering sacrifice, and Abraham took him up on, and he was strapped down, and Abraham raised the knife, and God said, no, the ram in the bush. And the Bible says he spared his son. God spared Abraham's son, but he loved us so much he did not spare his son.
He let his son die for us. Amen. So he becomes sin for us. So sin made a just God had to have penalty. God is a just God. He can't let that sin go. Sin had to be paid for. He's a good judge. He don't make mistakes. He's not judge you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, judge you. He's a good judge. And he said, okay, sin had to be judged. Jesus said, I'll pay for it. That way, you're just, you're a good judge, because you may sin. Sin was paid for. But yet, you still love them so much. You made a way out. All I'm saying, so this moment, he said, be grateful. As you see today, and then see, God, thank you for the gift of your righteousness. And because you've given me your rights, let me tell others about that. Others that stand in need of your righteousness, let me tell them about how they, through putting their faith in you, can experience that same kind of righteousness in their life. If you're here today and you got in Christ, you miracles. You got a righteousness way through. He said, no, it's not enough. You gotta get to the point that you say the only way, the only hope for me is Jesus and Jesus alone. And I put my faith in Christ. In Christ, the Son of our God, stand all on the ground.
Somebody you know, but you know, but yes.